flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're enjoying your lunch break right now. Well, or if you're maybe having a dinner break right now. Depends on the shift that you're working. 877-881-1053. Why do you think Dane Dunning didn't work last year? We'll get into that in just a moment. But Kevin, before we do, Mike, January 31st is a birthday for greatness.
Today's the 31st.
Today is the 31st. Nolan Ryan, Ernie Banks, and Jackie Robinson all share the same birthday. And I think that's three of like the best that you could bring up in baseball.
One of them still alive.
Can you name him, Kevin?
Nolan.
Nice! He did it, Alec.
Two of them born in Texas.
Can you name both of them?
Nolan and not Jackie Robinson.
Ernie? It was Ernie Banks, right? Yeah. Do you have any more facts, Mike?
Jackie Robinson, first ever African-American player in the major league.
That's a fact. Huh? That is a fact. Now, we had Dane Dunning during spring training last year. I'd love to talk to him again. I really enjoyed the conversation with him.
I'm with you. I wanted to, if we can, talk to the Rangers part about it just a second.
Okay.
So, Mike, I brought this up because you were asking, like, just in general, all of us, are we maybe too bullish on the Rangers? And so I found a couple of articles, like, from reputable type sources talking about how much better they think the Rangers specifically will be. Buster Olney talked about this. MLB.com had a story about it. And they have the Rangers as their top team, destined to be better. And I realize it's better than 78 wins. So take that for what you will. And Buster Olney listed the Rangers as the fourth team most likely to get better. I don't know what that looks like tangibly. Because, like, let's say you win 83 games. Well, that's better.
Yeah.
But you're not going to make the playoffs.
Right.
So when people say better, like, are we talking it needs to be at least 10 games probably, give or take, maybe 8?
10's a big increase.
It is.
So I guess 5.
Okay.
Now you just named the 5, 83. That would be better, but that would be a very disappointing season for the Rangers. The thing that I hope is you don't look and go, gosh, we had 20 losses this year where we had a lead by 3 or less going into the 8th inning and we lost 20 of those games.
Right.
They tied it up and we came back and won. That's not even counting those.
Yeah.
Is that we needed 6 outs to to win this game, and we 20 times failed to get those six outs. That's the one thing that scares me about, not saying you would win all of those games. You're going to blow games. That's going to happen. But I'm just scared right now. At what rate are you going to be able to close those games out?
I feel like also, was there a time when they were then where MLB owners were like, well, we'll just pay all the starters to go as long as they can, and we don't need to worry about closers and relief pitchers?
Well, I mean, when my dad played in the 70s, okay, you really were like, you have five failed starters and then one guy you think can get, and really wasn't even the last three outs. You looked at him as like the last six outs.
Okay.
So a reliever was, I'm seriously asking. The thought always was a reliever is most likely kind of a failed starter.
Yes.
Man.
Yeah.
That's tough.
These are our best failed starters.
Yeah.
You want them to be something. But
you're still in Major League Baseball.
And doesn't Dane Dunning kind of fit that, you know, and Andrew Heaney kind of fit that where you were like, not, you know, you can kind of rely on Heaney, but we can't get a win for the guy.
Somebody's going to get really lucky with Heaney as long as he's lasting. Like, he's better than Max Scherzer. But because of Max Scherzer's name, he got $15.5 million. I'll be interested to see. We don't know what Andrew Heaney's negotiations are like and with what teams. At least it's been very quiet on the Andrew Heaney front. But whoever gets him, I think, is going to be very happy with his versatility and feels like usually, at least with us, his health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he's going to be available for 162, and you can use him in multiple ways, and he's going to give you different ways to help you win.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, this is going to sound like a really broad question, Mike, but better than just about anybody I know. Probably anybody I know. Sorry, Derek. Can give me or at least the second best. You can give me a good answer. One of the things that Dane Dunning said is he's made a lot of changes, and you're always like, sure, sure, everybody makes changes. But he said, I was landing very far over the last year, and I was really losing my hips. I was wondering either A, if you want to dive into that specifically, or B, you can just talk about the mechanics of pitching and how important your hips are to it. I know that's like kind of a fun, basic question, but
if you're older, you'll remember Roger Pavlik, that's a former Ranger, or, and I always get them mixed up. It was Jeff Weaver with the Angels.
I think that is
because there's right. Jared and Jeff. Is it Jared? Ooh, I think, man. Jared was with the Angels.
I think it was Jared.
And Jeff Weaver like ended up being kind of, he went over to the Yankees, and that's when it all kind of really fell apart. You have this crossfire where if you think of Jared Weaver or you think of Roger Pavlik, and Dane Dunning doesn't want to be this, but when Dane goes wrong, you start stepping more towards the right-hander's batter's box. So now it takes a lot for your hips to get where they need to go. And so what happens is your ball starts really moving more right to left as a right-handed pitcher than it does where you want sink on it or you want some downward action on it. And so what Dane Dunning can do when he gets wrong is he starts stepping towards the right-hander's batter's box, which then his hips have to work very hard to try to get towards home plate because your body's going to be going towards that batter's box. And so to get the ball over, all you have is sideways movement. Most hitters will tell you, if it stays on the same plane and it's just going left to right, and that's consistently how your pitch is always going, that's very easy. I just have to get in the right path and now just make sure the barrel's in the right angle. But if I'm starting my swing and now the ball starts moving down and across or down and in, it's very tough for me to get the barrel to the ball. So he wants to keep his momentum going directly towards home plate. And then you'll see at times Jonah Heim. I don't know how Higgy will do it. This will be the first time ever for him to catch him. But he'll sometimes almost give you like a runway, like he's a plane.
Yeah.
With the lights, like, come on in. And what Heim is doing is he's telling him, get in your line, stay in your tunnel. Now there's tunneling pitches, which we'll talk about, but there's tunneling your body, and you want to stay kind of, this is maybe a little bit too extreme, but you want to stay in between that rubber. You do not want to get outside that rubber. And Dane is talking about how he could get outside of that rubber. And I don't know if he said this in the article or not, but he's mentioned it. I know other people. He was out of shape. So he was not in the best shape last year, which when you're out of shape physically, like you've put on a few extra pounds and maybe you're not as strong in your ab area or your back
or your lower legs,
sometimes that will then cause you to not be as strong in keeping your line that you need to keep.
Are you surprised at all? Are you guys surprised at all to hear that? Like, I appreciate, because Dane Dunning's very honest and he'll break things down for you. He just seems like the kind of person who's like, I have to optimize every possible thing I can to
well, yes, it was a longer season. He had a baby. There was like a lot of things going on in his one, the I would say the longer season, the pitching till November 1st. So you have less of an off season, and then there's more stress on you in the off season after winning a championship because your hometown people want to celebrate you. Your agent wants you to sign more autographs, and because there's this opportunity to make more money in the off season. Then you have other events with the Texas Rangers that they've put on to celebrate the event, and you have a baby. And so it's the lack of sleep. It's just like, I'm starving. I need to eat something. And I'm not saying he was like super out of shape, but
yeah,
to your point, he has, I dealt with this. He's way better than I ever was. He has below average stuff for a major leaguer.
Which means not a lot of room for...
Right. So he cannot... He has to be mechanically sound. He has to be in physically great shape where he doesn't fatigue on the mound. Because if DeGrom, who's a skinny dude, if he gets physically fatigued, oh no, he went from throwing 100 to 97. When Dane Dunning gets physically fatigued... He goes from throwing 92, let's say, to 89. That can be a big difference, and then the ball gets flatter on him. So I do expect him to be maybe not the 23 pitcher. I think the Rangers have much more depth than that 23 team does in their rotation, so I don't think he's really going to start much for you this year, but he needs to be a valuable guy pitching somewhere between those fourth and sixth innings.
A few years ago, his hip was the thing that was bothering him, too.
True.
He That's had the hip injury. He wasn't able to step as far towards the plate. That's one of the things Mike was talking about. I know he wants to go straight like towards the catcher, and we've seen Heim. I've seen him do that. Like, reach to me. You don't shorten it, because whenever you shorten it, you're losing a lot of what you're trying to accomplish. But he needs to reach out sometimes, and whenever you're a little heavier, you do tend to do a shortcut on yourself. You won't necessarily go
unintentionally.
As far out. Your body just physically isn't prepared to capture that.
I know you just said maybe innings four through six potentially, give or take. How difficult do you think that is, either player or to kind of get the message of, hey, I know you want to start, but this is where I need you. Like, I know everyone will like pitch in for the team, but it's still got to hurt your ego, pride, whatever the case is.
Yes. Yes. But Dane Dunning, this is his job the rest of his life, as in he's going to have to. I hope he does, because he's an awesome dude. I hope he gets a 3-year $15 million contract. Like, I hope it'd be per year, but let's just put him at $5 million per year. I don't know. Dane Dunning's probably one of those guys in his career that could get a 10-year major league career, but it will be a lot of times on one-year deals, or like a one-year deal with a team option type of deal. And I think he understands that. He'll probably start a few games for you, but I just think he's going to have that role of, and I better do it, right? Because whether it's Jacob Latz, Cole Wynn, Pennington, I know I'm naming the lefties we named the other day, there's going to be guys that are going to start off in AAA. I think Dunning will start on the major league team in the pen that are going to be wanting to take his job. That's the tough thing about it. You're friends, but you're trying to take that guy's livelihood away from him, even though you're his friend.
His sinker, Kevin, was one of baseball's best individual pitches two seasons ago, according to Baseball Savant, the third most valuable pitch of its type. So him specifically, in what we all considered one of the best, like, we loved him that year. He was awesome. Anytime you needed to call upon him, he did. It was an average pitch last season. Mike, it did drop from 89.7 to 88.4. So, like, that specific pitch made it more hittable. And that made it more one of those things that he was like, all right, now I'm seeing more go over the fence. And now I'm seeing more doubles driven into the gaps. And that's not good. And Bochy's not going to let that last long.
Yeah. The two things you want to watch for Dane Dunning when you're watching him pitch is, two, you don't want him to be up in the zone. I said two first, but you don't want him to be up in the zone because he does not survive well up there. And you don't want to see him missing, let's say, down and away to righties a lot off of the plate where Jonah's having to reach across. And it's not, because that means he's now getting that sideways motion and he's not keeping his line.
Do you try to overcompensate then whenever you're pitching? Because if he steps out too much to the left-hander's box, he's going to open up too much. So really become, I mean, it is repetition.
Well, what happens is when you get your wrong line, you have to open up, or you have to now, for his left side, his glove side, he has to throw that elbow hard
to try to get
back online. Now, Roger Pavlik, Jared Weaver, what they could do is they would do it, but then you have to have really strong abs to then hold it. So I got to open up, but then I got to stay strong and stay there. And when Dane goes wrong, and probably like a Pavlik or a Weaver would, their arm keeps opening up, and now I'm opening up. The one thing that can be tough to do, especially on your shoulder, is if you start off and instead of stepping towards your line, you do step open.
Okay.
That usually, in a general sense, will put more stress on your shoulder.
Now, Kevin, Jared Weaver was a fantastic pitcher. And I always found it weird that he did cross planes the way that he did. Yeah. But one thing he didn't like was pitching in Texas. That was the one advantage we had whenever it came to not having a roof on this thing. That dude's lips would dry out and he would be ticked off and he would be cussing
at
everything.
Once he looked like a drug addict,
like,
or
a crack fiend up there, just like, oh, I need my fix right now. And he hated pitching here during the hot. And I was always excited because that was good for the Rangers on that. So I'm very hopeful for Dane Dunning. What do we have any other Rangers things we need to work on before we get to spring training, Kevin?
I mean,
before pitchers and catchers report?
Sure. It goes back to what Mike said his biggest fear is. What I think the biggest fear is for most people on this team is they're going to look back and be like, dang it, I wish we would have had the money or trade assets or whatever to get a closer.
Are we just assuming we're going to score 12 runs a game, or how are we? Because last year kind of freaked me out that we couldn't score.
But I don't think you're in that position. But what I'm afraid of is you're going to be in a lot of close games. And then at 4-3, 8-7, whatever you think that looks like.
I'll tell you what's going to be interesting is, let's say, the first 2 weeks of the season. In August and September, Bruce Bochy finally, I think, said, screw it. We're not going to hit home runs. We're not going to hit doubles. We're going to have to... What's that?
I'm sorry. I coughed.
Oh.
And I covered the cough with my hand like you should as a human, but I didn't turn off the mic. I'm so sorry.
Is he going to manage like August and September where they started trying to steal bases more?
Yeah.
And like, we can't live for the double and home run. We don't do that. Our team isn't doing that. Now, Lankford got really hot in September. Or is he going to go back to, no, in 23, the way we hit the ball, and now that I have, hopefully, opening day, Josh Jung healthy, Jock Peterson in the lineup, like, are we just going to go to everybody stand on their base and wait for the double and wait for the home run, and that's how we're going to murder teams? I don't like that.
I don't either.
I understand the power that they potentially have. I would like to be aggressive early in the year and then try to bring it back if you need to on the bases, rather than let's watch for 2 months and see if we have an OPS or a slugging that is top five in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. I'm very looking forward to getting out to Arizona, getting out to Surprise, talking with Boat, seeing what he thinks needs to be fixed with this thing, or if he's like, you know what, we got this sucker ready to rock.
Are you looking forward to that as much as you're looking forward to going to the Omni today in Frisco to potentially see the G-Bag Nation? Not potentially. If you go, you will see that.
Go to the Omni. Check out the G-Bag Nation. They're going to high-five you. Might even have some drinks with you. I know a bunch. Three of those guys will drink, definitely. And if you get Broadus rolling, just imagine what G-Bag's going to be like today.